Okay, it is time now for our monthly check-in with Anne-Marie Horgan, and she's here in studio with me to talk about feet. And Anne-Marie, you're very welcome.
Hi, Deirdre. Thanks.
How are you today?
Good, good.
Good stuff.
So as you're talking about the races there, there's a side of podiatry that specialises in equine podiatry.
Equine podiatry.
Yeah, horses, yeah.
Horses' feet. That's not your strong suit, though, no?
I say there might be a few horses outside the door tomorrow morning, though.
You never know.
No.
Well, what I'm going to say to the listeners is we've so many questions for Anne-Marie this month. And what I'm going to do, I think the fairest thing to do is take them in the order in which they arrived this morning, because they started arriving this morning very early, from as early as 10 o'clock, Anne-Marie. So a lot of people with problems with their feet out there. So we kick off with this one that came in from Tim in Banna. Tim has very bad plantar fasciitis for the last 5 months, and the mornings are killing him in particular. He finds it hard to get going. He says, I've done physio, I've bought new trainers, but nothing is helping. Would Anne-Marie have any advice for me?
Well, look, plantar fasciitis and heel spurs are extremely common. They're one of the most common kind of, you know, conditions coming into the clinic. But, like, you know, your plantar fascia, you know, to kind of explain the anatomy, your plantar fascia is your bend underneath your arch, and it's your spring mechanism. So it takes all your body weight. So we'll say if somebody's 10 stone, that bend has to take 10 stone all day, every day. So the bend can become kind of feathered or stretched over time. So if it's going on 5 months, normally I find if patients are suffering longer, it's always that they're on their job, as in their job they're standing. So it's just, it takes much longer to kind of recover, to get them back to normal. So if he's done physio, obviously he's done the stretching route, I'd always still recommend you continue doing that anyway. And then we'd always look at footwear, we'd always look at weight, lifestyle, mechanics. So has there been a foot drop? So anyone who's in a standing job, always the foundation will always collapse. So if the foot has collapsed or shifted any amount, then the plantar fascia stretches. So then we'd have to pull it back into place by giving him some sort of device. But normally, like, you know, when anyone comes in, we'd video analyse the way you walk, and then we'd have a look at your footwear, and we'd look at your weight bearing and non-weight bearing, and then we'd figure out the cause, and then once we figure out the cause, we fix it.
Okay, so you'd be able to help Tim, definitely.
Look, normally that route, if somebody's suffering that long, it's always we'd have to build them an orthotic. It's as simple as that. I need to put something in, a scaffolding to hold plantar fascia, to hold, we'll say, if he's 10, 12 stone, and then that resolves it.
Now, Catherine was in touch. She's wondering if her 5-year-old little girl is too young to get her legs checked. Catherine's concern is that she feels her little girl's legs are going inward a bit too much.
Okay, no. Like we'll see even there, kind of yesterday, we had the 3-year-old in. So even though we mightn't intervene much because they are only three, that doesn't mean, I'll tell you then, I'm always quite blunt with patients that, you know, I say, look, we'll recall you in a year, we'll recall you in 2 years. And so even if you come in for an assessment, I'll always kind of educate the parent, because I think that is the key to any kind of treatment process. So like if a 3-year-old comes in, we don't give out any devices or interfere with gait or anything like that. We might just give them a little stabilizing cup just to kind of give them something, because, you know, you must think at that age, we'd say at 5, they still wouldn't be kind of very sturdy, and, you know, we kind of wait for the hips to kind of widen as well. And to get a little bit more active. And then once we kind of wait for that process to kind of, normally kind of a year or two after 5, once they kind of sturdy up and the hips widen, then we'd kind of start to interfere. But no, it's never too young.
Yeah, 5 is fine, a 5-year-old. Sinead is in Port Magee. She works on her feet all day, and she says she feels like they're giving up. Is there any footwear that Anne-Marie would recommend to help support my feet?
It depends. Like, is it the footwear or is it her? So, you know, always when patients come in, if somebody's standing, we'll say, in their job for 10, 15, 20 years, they're always coming in like that. They're always coming in. They've put on a little bit of weight. They've cut back their walking. Everything is about just focusing on the job and getting through the days, as in trying to stand for, we'll say, whatever, 39, 40 hours a week. So, when it comes to, like, I'm always banging on about trainers. So trainers are very good. Once they're lightweight, they're springy, and they have a block in the back, so that supports your posture. So then you come along then with people coming in and they need the safety footwear. So a lot of them are quite heavy, and they're uncomfortable. So, like, if it's slip-on, we don't agree with slip-ons. You should always be laced up, so you get locked on for support. So like you can go down the trainer side, which is, you know, you can go for the Brooks, Mizuno, Asics, but she has to kind of figure out what her foot type is. So like there's different trainers for different foot types. You can go for a neutral trainer. If her arch support is pretty good, you can go for a neutral trainer. But if she needs a little bit of extra support, like you can go for something like the Asics 2000 or the Brooks GTS Adrenaline, or even the Mizunos are quite good. They've quite good blocks in the back. And then if it's safety footwear, then these don't have a steel toe cap. They're called OxyPass, and they're a bit like the Nike Air Max 90s. They have a nice block, they're light, they're sturdy, and they're lace up, and people do love them. And they're a good kind of a working kind of solid shoe. And then you've loads of kind of safety footwear then, but I try, if I can keep people out of safety footwear, I do.
You do. Okay, so trainers, and you gave some good suggestions there. Now, Fionn is in Killarney. Fionn says, my son has 2 second toes which are crossing over, and the GP said he'll grow out of it, but I don't think that's right. Can Anne-Marie help in any way, or maybe should I bring him into her?
See, that's actually quite a common, especially with young ones coming in. So, like, you know, I'd always kind of question the parent, and, you know, if it's there from birth, it can always be to do. So if the second toe is crossing over, it can be to do with a short second. So a shorter second toe. So it just gets lazy, so it starts to retract back. If it's there, as in if it starts to kind of develop and progress over time, like you must think you have the big toe, the second toe. So the big toe normally pushes the second toe out of the way. So I always say it's a bit like overcrowding in the teat. So like if the second toe is lifting, like it's lifting for a reason. So normally either the child is starting to form a bunion, or it's starting, the joint is starting to sublux, as in it's starting to deviate kind of 1 degree, 2 degrees. It changes very slowly over time. So when the big joint, when the big toe turns, it pushes the second out of the way, and then that guy then lazes. So technically you've only 4 toes on the ground. So like at that age, like there is devices out there that we'd kind of more give for an adult, because a child wouldn't be really compliant with a device. So something so simple as in we try and create spacing between the first and the third toe, and so we try and separate those toes to drop the second toe down. And normally that's in the form, it's a kind of a foamy device. And then also we do something so simple as in we tape the toe down, we pull the toe back into place. So we push it down in between the first and the second toe, and I get the parent then to do that, and I normally get the angle kind of tighter and tighter as the weeks goes on, and normally then you got to wait for a few growth spurts, and that settles it then.
Next up, it's Dana who's in Dingle. Dana says, is it possible for my mum to have lost fat on the ball of her foot? She's having great difficulties walking lately, and I feel her feet are causing it, or could it just be age?
People always say that to me when they come in, and I'm always a kind of a fan. Age doesn't come into, no matter what age you are, you still have 2 feet. We still need to keep you mobile, keep you active. So like when we have natural fibre fat on the ball of our feet, so we've got 5 bones, the metatarsals, on the ball of our foot, and they obviously when they hit the ground every single time, that fat can disperse as we get older. So it can be your foot types, it can be something to do with a rheumatoid patient if they're on long time steroid, it can be to do with drop bones, it can be to do with somebody's on their feet all their life. It depends, like there's all different factors, but like if you've lost the fat, there's no cream that's going to get that back. So we have to put something externally on the outside. So like if she's like, I'm always patients like that that always come in that have like 1 or 2 or 3 bones dropped, and they spent a fortune on shoes, and I always say, you know, it's not the shoes, it's you. So we have to fix the foot, so I have to build a plate to go into the shoe to replace the fat and to lift those bones back up. So normally we have to do a plaster bars cast, measure the bones, how much they're dropped, and then build, we say, pressure diversion on the plate to alleviate the pressure then from the bones and give her fat back, which will give her a sturdier footing. Because you must think, as you get older, your muscle tone, kind of like, it's not dystonia, but you get kind of muscle tone because your muscles aren't as strong as they should be, so your footing isn't as good. So if somebody's walking on bones, like that makes them more prone to being clumsy and falling. And so it's all about giving somebody a sturdier footing when they walk.
Very good. That's a relief, I would imagine, to Dana about her mom. The next one is from Deirdre via email. She has plantar fasciitis on her right foot for the last 4 months. She's doing foot exercises as instructed, and has bought custom-made orthotics for her shoes, but it's still very painful, even especially after a day at work where she's on her feet all day. Have you any advice, or should this pain go away in time?
See, it depends, because if it's custom orthotics that she got,
yeah,
we say if it's 6 weeks in, normally I kind of say, look, 6 weeks in, and if it's not resolved, you have to come back. Because then, you're dealing with humans at the end of the day, and also any custom device that I hand out, they're all handmade. So they're physically made by people, they're not CAD-CAM off a conveyor belt or anything like that. So when it comes to an orthotic, people do need adjustments. It's not a one-stop shop where you come in once and that's it, life is great. So, you know, you must think you're changing bones as well, and also like your foot will have settled in after getting an orthotic after about the kind of 6 weeks, and once you've settled, then we can judge the prescription as in the alignment. So then some patients come in and I might need to jack it up a little bit, or increase the height where the plantar fascia is sitting. So if it hasn't resolved after getting orthotics, normally like you should definitely, you know, go back and see, can an adjustment be made? Then there's other kind of aspects that you have to look at. There's a stretching program to stretch the plantar fascia and Achilles, and then you can introduce a little bit of icing. See, standing as well is slowing down the healing process, so we'd always look at your work footwear as well, and we'd look at your weight. Weight is key. If somebody has that little bit of extra on, it's just adding a little bit of extra load, so we're trying to help out that aspect as well.
Talk about on Radio Kerry.
Now we're with Anne-Marie Horgan from the Tralee Podiatry Clinic, Tralee and Killarney Podiatry Clinic. We're going through questions for her, and there's a lot this month, I can tell you. Next up, Anne-Marie, it's Angie from Oak Park here in Tralee. She says, am I too old for orthotics? I'm 72 and feel my feet are very flat when I walk. My left ankle hurts in the morning, and she says that you sound very good and she feels like she needs to go to you.
No, you're never too old. Jesus, no. If anything, that as you get older, your feet can make you get older if they go wrong. So I'm always drumming that into patients. So people have this thing, oh, I'm too old, I should just buy a pair of echo shoes or whatever. But no, like all an orthotic is just a plate. So it's like putting scaffolding under a house. That's all it is. Our bones shift as we get older. People develop osteoporosis, rheumatoid or whatever. And we become unsteady, and all we're doing is we're steadying you up. So that's quite simple. So if anything, it gives somebody a better footing. It realigns them. And then, like, it's not just, we'll say, getting an orthotic for a patient. Normally, we'd introduce kind of an exercise program as well. So, you know, even doing some aqua work. I'm a big fan of, you know, patients going into the pool, going for a walk in the pool. Like, pounding the road every day is not good for you. So I'd always kind of be a fan of kind of weight-bearing and non-weight-bearing. So you go for a walk on a Monday, do pool work on Tuesday, go for a walk on Wednesday. So you'll be day on, day off. And that's much better for your fitness, and it's much better for your mobility. It keeps you flexible. And then we'd also introduce some kind of stretching, either go Pilates, either go one-to-one, yoga, something like that, just to keep everything loose and flaccid. Because as we get older, we get stooped, we get smaller, we get stiff. And so it's all kind of smart training, I call it.
Smart training, absolutely. So Angie in Oak Park will be into you, I have a feeling. Now we've a question from Christine. Christine is in Sneem. She says her son, who has autism, has been sent by an occupational therapist for his posture. But to be honest, she says, I think it's a podiatrist he needs, because he is toe walking still at 9 years old and runs awkwardly. Does Anne-Marie see many kids with autism?
Plenty. But the thing with autism is it's all to do with proprioception, balance, dystonia, which is the muscle tone. And like it's a bit like being a loose bag of bones, and they're hyper flexible, and you know it's a bit like a spider effect. So if you have a child coming in and they have low muscle tone, so then that affects them, we'll say partaking in sport. So if it affects them partaking in sport, it'll affect them mentally, their confidence, then it affects their fitness, and it's kind of a bit of a vicious circle. So like it's all like, I always kind of say you have to put the pieces of the jigsaw together. So when it comes with muscle tone, we'd look at alignment, gait, we'd do any sort of functional tests, and check their balance. And like a big thing would be the proprioception, which is the balance. And you know, we'd kind of try and build a picture over time, so introduce a little bit of non-weight bearing, try and get them on the bike, do a little bit of pool work, introduce some fins, which will strengthen up the calves and the quads and the hamstrings, and then look at their gait, look at their footwear. And it's all about building a better structure as the growth plates are forming. So it's not just rub a bit of cream on and all be good. It's building blocks over time.
There's a bit more to it than that, exactly. Now, I'm not sure if this is a question for you, but I'm sure you'll be able to answer it. This is Jacinta in Tralee. She says she has a mole on the ball of her foot. She only noticed it recently and it's getting a little bit bigger, and she's wondering should she get it checked. It doesn't hurt.
A mole on the ball of her foot, it's like, it's a place, one, that you don't see. So if you have a mole on your hand or your leg or whatever, you can keep an eye on it. So it's like the ball of your foot isn't somewhere you check regularly. So the one thing with a mole is that it's in a place that you don't rub cream on. So if you're on holidays, we'd say in wherever, and you're walking on hot sand, you're much more likely to get it burnt. So if you're lying out in the sun, obviously if the sun is facing, you're not going to put factor 50 or whatever factor you're using on that.
You wouldn't think of it, yeah.
So if it's in an area that you don't keep an eye on, and if it's changed colour, whatever, we say circumference, or if it's gotten more kind of viscous, as in thicker in, we'll say height, then yes.
Yeah, she says it's gotten bigger, so she'd be better off to be safe, wouldn't she?
But it's not just there. Normally, like if you go into any kind of dermatologist, you'd check you from head to toe.
Jean is in Kenmare. She says her son broke his ankle 9 months ago and is complaining now of pain during football. She says, should Anne-Marie see him? His left knee is also playing up. The physio is finished and I got him new boots.
If he broke his ankle, and that's how many months ago?
9 months ago.
So 9 months, so he's weight bearing. And if he's still having problems, like the one thing I find there is he had biomechanical problems more than likely before the break. He comes along, breaks, and then the rehab and whatever, and then he's back training, but he still has the same biomechanics that he had before he broke it. So that's why there's a bump in the road again. So like the mechanics were always there, probably since he was a young lad, and then the sport is bringing it on. So 9 times out of 10 it's the way somebody's running in the sport is the problem. So we'd have to look at the biomechanics, look at his boots. So just, I'd always mention different boots to different body builds of young lads coming in. So if there's a younger fella coming in, you have a lesser boot, and if there's some fella coming in and they're whatever 6 foot, like you'd put them into a much stronger kind of carbon plate because they have to hold the load.
Lorraine is in Curragh. She has bumps on the back of her heels that are very painful and red, and it seems like a bone bump. She says it's very red after standing at work all day. What is it and how can she get rid of it?
That could either be Achilles problem, or else it's a Haglund's deformity, which is a exostosis. It's just a bony bump, and normally it takes years and years and years for this to form. But it can it's always kind of down to the way the foot is either turning, or else it's a kind of a minor kind of an overuse biomechanical fault. So a bony bump, the problem is you've lost the fat, so you can't replace the fat on the heel. It's not possible. So then we'd have to do it externally. So you know, you can get cushioning added on to the inside of your footwear. You could always put on a Compete is more kind of like a gel, so you could whack a Compete layer on the inside. Some people have gone off and had surgery, you have the bone shaved, and it just lessens the prominency of the bone if it's becoming problematic in all footwear, because like you must think every time you walk our heel goes up and down. So then it's rubbing. So if it's a problem in all footwear, then I would always look at a surgical route, because life is too short
to be suffering. Yeah. I'm just going to squeeze one more in, Anne-Marie, and it's from Veronica. She says, will you ask Anne-Marie if my feet can affect my knees? I think they are causing my knee pain and I've stopped walking lately, so any advice would be great.
Can you answer this one now? Yeah. Well, so you could.
Yes. I know from the promo we do for your slot is that if you're having knee pain, yeah, it could be coming from your feet.
Well, if you think about it, everything is connected. So if you think, if somebody's got flat feet, the ankle turns in, the shin turns in, the knee turns in, the hip turns in, and then if we say you take 10,000 footsteps a day, of course that knee is turning every single step. So that's 10,000 steps that knee is turning. So then that turns into repetitive overuse, you get cartilage problems, you get arthritic, whatever. You know, like you get minor blips, and then people would go to your physio and then you do some exercises and that would get you over it. But if it's a mechanical fault, no matter what you do, it'll always catch up with you. So yes, if there's any other kind of secondaries going on, because people always think, you know, you come into a foot clinic, it has to be foot problems. No, it's up the chain, is more than likely.
I said that was the last one, but I am going to squeeze one more in. Caller gets a lot of pain at the joint at the base of their toes. Is this a form of plantar fasciitis or something else?
No, the plantar fasciitis normally starts kind of midfoot at the heel. So if it's near the toes, normally that's metatarsalgia. So the bones are probably dropping. That's what we always find our patients. They're probably dropping because the arch behind it is dropping. So pains in the toes normally are from metatarsalgia.
Okay. We better let you go, Anne-Marie, but remind people how they can find you if they want to make an appointment.
It's Killarney Podiatry Clinic, so we're there across from the big Tesco's on the Park Road
in Killarney.
In Killarney, and then in Tralee, then we're halfway up Carsley, so it's Tralee Podiatry Clinic, which is kind of near Maguire's Butchers there.
Near Maguire's Butchers, yeah. Perfect, that's great. Well, listen, thank you for going through all those questions. We had twice as many as we could answer. For whatever reason, people's feet are in trouble this month, Anne-Marie, but thank you so much for answering what you did answer for us, and we look forward to seeing you next month.
Talk About on Radio Kerry.